Let's start in the book of Acts, chapter 28 this evening. Acts, chapter 28.
We're continuing with the study on examples of powerful prayer in the Word of God. And I want to look at three of them tonight. They all have to do with praying for health needs, something that we all do today. And God answers in a powerful way, not always as we expect, but in Matthew chapter 28, we encounter the life of the Apostle Paul just after he was in the shipwreck. Remember, the ship went down. They were going to kill the prisoners, but they convinced them otherwise, and so they all swam to shore. And verse number 1 tells us that they discovered the island was Malta, where they had landed, and the people treated them well. In verse number 2, they... Well, let's read that verse, because there's a little phrase in here that I think is pretty cool. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us, every one, because of the present rain and because of the cold. And so in the middle of that verse, that received us, every one. I thought that was a pretty interesting statement for God to have included in His Word, and it tells us a lot about the people on this island, because they understood that a good number of those that were in the shipwreck were prisoners, were criminals, and yet they didn't treat them any less than the others. And so I just think that was a really good observation there that God allowed us to see about them, the way they treated them. Now, we know that they understood that some of them were criminals, because as the people of Malta started the fire, it was then up to the shipwreck people to get the wood. And Paul, being a prisoner, was one out there gathering the sticks. And you know what happened? He went to throw his bundle of sticks into the fire. He accidentally got a snake. Now, I've gathered sticks and I've caught snakes, but I can't imagine gathering a bundle of sticks and not knowing there's a snake in it, because it obviously was a snake with pretty good size, because it fastened on his hand, and the Bible tells us how he got it off. He didn't say, "Now, little snakey, let go," and he didn't wiggle his hand and have it fall off. It had a pretty good grip. He had to shake it off into the fire. And obviously a venomous snake, because in verse number 4, when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." It's interesting what they're saying here is, you know, it's this guy's fault, obviously, that the ship sank. They're blaming it all on him, because they say God's trying to get this guy. He sunk the ship trying to drown him, but somehow he got out of God's hands. Now, obviously, they didn't understand God. They were pagans, at least at this point in time. And so they thought, well, God, he may have escaped the water from drowning, but he's not going to escape that snake. And so they were kind of keeping an eye on Paul, figuring, well, this guy's going to swell up and he's going to drop over and die any time now. And it didn't happen. And boy, their attitude changed, didn't it? Look in verse number 6 at the end. It says they changed their minds and said that he was a god. Now, it's not the first time Paul was called a god. The first time, what city was that at? Anyone know? Lystra. And what happened to him there? Did it end well for the Apostle Paul? No, not at all. They stoned him and left him for dead. And God raised him up, and I love that account, historical account, where he got up, and I imagine him brushing the dust off his clothes and going right back into the city and preaching. And he wasn't going to be run off, even though they killed him. But here it has a better ending to what happened, because then it begins to fill in a little bit of background for us about in the same quarters or the same area, maybe village or series of villages. There was the chief man of the island. His name was Publius. And he treated them very kindly, it tells us in verse number 7. But then in verse number 8, Unfortunately for this fella, his dad was very sick of a fever and of a bloody flux. Anyone know what a bloody flux is? It's not very pleasant. Yeah, the other end. And so it's pretty disgusting to think about, but God just has a way in his word of putting things very politely, so it's inoffensive. And but anyway, so this guy's in bad shape. And so Paul came in and just doesn't make a lot of to-do about it, doesn't list anything of what he said, just says he prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. Now think about the supposed faith healers today. They want all the recognition. They want all the attention. They're not going to do anything without getting a lot of, making a lot of noise and making sure everybody knows they're in the building and that they're doing what they're doing. That's not the way it was with the Apostle Paul. He just walks in. Oh, you're sick? Okay, let me pray for you. Let me lay my hands on you. God, if it's God's will do a work in your life. And that's what happened. And this father of Publius was fine. And so we see a powerful answer to prayer there, even though as we read through our Bibles, it'd be very easy to just breeze right over the top of this thing, because as I said, God doesn't make a lot of to-do about it. It's just matter of fact. But this is what God does, and this is what we're to expect when it comes time to pray for healing. Marilyn Pitzer's been sending some emails. A granddaughter of one of the workers there, 2 or 3 years old, something like that, needed a heart transplant. Imagine being that parent, or even grandparents. And everything went well, and then they had to open her back up because there was bleeding, and they left her open for about a day, and then they finally closed her back up. And last note we got, she was doing okay, as well as can be expected in the condition she's in. But the parents were rejoicing because her hands and feet were warm and not blue anymore. And so they're concerned about her kidneys, but, you know, prayer. I mean, can you imagine the complication and the complexity of doing a heart transplant? And but God does great things. And so we need to pray for our health needs. Sometimes people question whether we should or not. Should we pray for other things, and should we only pray for other people? Well, God teaches us that he answers in powerful ways when we pray about our health needs. Now, another familiar one, probably more familiar to you, is over in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. You may scratch your heads if you know where I'm going at why I would pull this one out as an example of powerful prayer, but it really is, if we just stop and think about this. Paul had a problem in his life, the thorn in the flesh, and he addresses it here in 2 Corinthians 12, and again, he doesn't make a big to-do about anything. He just mentions it by way of making a point of how we're to expect God to deal in our lives and how we ought to deal in response to how God deals with us. But let's pick it up in verse number 7. Unless I should be exalted above measure, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 7. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now we don't know what the thorn in the flesh is. There's been a lot of suggestions, a lot of guesswork. The one thing we do know about it is it was very difficult for the Apostle Paul, and he felt like it hindered him physically from doing the things that he wanted to do. That's all we know about it. And so we can say it was his eyesight. He seems to allude to that in another area of Scripture about the size of the letters that he used when he was signing his name. But really, we don't know. We don't know. But this was a difficult thing for him. And so what did he do? Verse number 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice. In other words, he prayed. He went to God. That's what besought means. He went to God and on this situation in his life saying, God, heal me. God, you know how much better I can serve you if I didn't have this hindrance, this thorn in the flesh in my life. You know how much more effective I could be. And remember who Paul is. He's a very humble man. And so he's not doing it to be braggadocious. He's not doing it trying to exalt himself further. He just has this driving passion for souls that just kept him on the move all the time, day and night, wherever he was, whoever he encountered. And so he's very, I'm sure, a very sincere prayer here to be more useful for God. And what did God say? We all know the answer. God said no. Now, as I said, you may be scratching your head thinking, well, how is that an example of powerful prayer? I think it's an example of powerful prayer because even though God didn't give him what he asked for, God gave him exactly what he was praying for. Because he goes on to describe how much more effective he is because of that thorn in the flesh. Too often we think that if we don't have any needs and we don't have any problems and we don't have any difficulties, that we could serve God so much better, so much more effectively. I've known far too many people who said that, well, I'll serve God when? And they'll mention some things that they want to get straightened out in their life or some things taken care of. The fact is, if they don't start today, they'll never serve God. Because when those circumstances are cleared up, there's going to be more circumstances in their life. They will never serve God if they don't start today. It's just that simple. If you're waiting on something, don't. Let me encourage you, just serve God the best you can to the best of your ability. None of us are qualified. None of us are able of our own self to do anything for God. And we come to grips with that. It doesn't matter if God says no to our physical needs and has us struggle at times. I remember Lillian, I always wanted to call her Lillian Billings. She was a real blessing in the church in Ohio. She got married at 71 years of age for the first time. And she had a boy when she was a late teen, early 20, I think late teen, that wanted to marry her. And an evangelist came through and said, you know, if your boyfriend, girlfriend isn't living for the Lord, you need to break it off. And he wasn't. And she broke it off and never had another opportunity until she was 71. And her name is Lillian Martin, but she always used to say that how tired she was because she was busy. She did just about everything in the church that there could be to do. And I just always told her, your rest will come. Your rest will come. And she looked forward to that. But I imagine in her mind she's thinking, if I could just be less tired, how much more I could serve God. God wants us to be that way, so that we'll lean on him for strength, for ability, for power, for usefulness. And that's what Paul understood. For when I am weak, then am I strong. And so that was Paul's desire, and that was the motivation behind his prayer request to have the thorn removed, so I can be more effective. And God says, this is how you're more effective. And so no is the answer you really want, even though you think the answer you want is yes. And so sometimes when we have physical issues in our life and we go to God for healing and God makes it very clear that the answer is no, and that in itself I think is makes us an example of powerful prayer, just that Paul knew God's answer. He didn't continue to pray for the rest of his life. We don't hear him saying that he prayed for 12 years or 20 years or 30 years, three times. I don't imagine it took him very long to pray three times about this. But God gave a very clear answer because Paul was listening and Paul was praying expectantly. And so sometimes God says yes, like he did to Publius's father. Sometimes he says no, like he did to Paul and his thorn in the flesh. One more example of powerful prayer in the book of Isaiah in regards to physical healing. Isaiah chapter 38. Isaiah 38. This is just after the great victory we looked at last time when God intervened and 185,000 Assyrians were dead. when they woke up in the morning. And this verse 38, I'm sorry, chapter 38, verse number 1 says, in those days, so very close in time frame, obviously afterwards, but in those days, was Hezekiah sick? How sick was he? Unto death. That sounds pretty serious, doesn't it? And so he's sick unto death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Now, how would you like to get that message? And there are some people that are told by the doctors that, you know, you have X amount of days left, use them wisely. Doctors don't know. Doctors aren't God. They don't know when your appointment with God is. Some people will live decades beyond when they were supposed to have passed away. They just are guesswork. But this is coming from God. What an act of, I think, God's grace in letting Hezekiah know that. Because Hezekiah had a problem, didn't he? What didn't he have? He didn't have an heir. He didn't have anyone to follow him on the throne, for all we know anyway. And so God's saying, look, you've been a great king. You've turned the country around. Great revival has taken place under your leadership. And I'd kind of like to see that continue. And so before you leave this earth, before I call you home, I want you to get things in order so that this thing can continue and so that you don't get the wrong person to follow you on the throne and Israel or Judah plunge back into idolatry where I'll have to judge them. Problem is, Hezekiah didn't like the answer. He didn't like the information, I guess I should say. And I have to believe he was praying. I think that in itself, though it doesn't specifically say, I think that in itself was an answer to prayer, kind of like what Paul got with a thorn in the flesh. Would it have been better for Hezekiah to die at that particular time? Would it have been better for the nation? If you know the history, you would answer definitely yes. It would have been better for him to have died then. And I have to believe that he wished he had in retrospect. But he goes on in verse number 2, then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord. And so it goes on and records his prayer, and God catches Isaiah's attention. Now it doesn't tell us here. It tells us I believe, 2 Kings, that Isaiah didn't even get out of the house. And God sent him back. And look in verse number 4. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee and the city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. And of course he did that, but God said to Hezekiah, you don't want to die today? Okay, I'll give you 15 more years. Isn't that a pretty powerful answer to prayer? But what happened in those 15 years? Actually, it happened just a couple years after that. He had a son, didn't he? What was that son's name? Anyone know? Manasseh. Did Manasseh follow in his dad's footsteps? Absolutely not. It was because of Manasseh that Judah went into captivity. Now, there was a revival after Manasseh was off the throne, but ultimately God pointed back when it finally, the walls were broken, the city destroyed. God looked back to Manasseh and what Manasseh had done. Sometimes God answers our prayers just the way we want them, and in retrospect, we wish he hadn't. It's still a pretty powerful answer to prayer that God would do something like that for a man. But we just really need to learn to accept the answer that God gives us, I guess is what I'm trying to say when it comes to our health concerns. Just think, if every time we got sick, we prayed for healing, would we ever make it to heaven? No. Don't we want to go to heaven? I mean, I enjoy living. I had Lucky Charms for breakfast this morning. Man, It doesn't get much better than that. That's right up there with Captain Crunch. And so there's a lot of good things in this world. So there's a lot of good here. We enjoy it. But when we get to heaven, it isn't going to be so much better. We'll be able to eat angels' food, manna. I can't wait to see what the spread at the marriage supper of the Lamb is going to be like. You know, that's going to be wonderful. And I'm going to say, Captain Crunch, what's that? I can't believe I ever ate that stuff. So anyway, if God answered every health issue we had, if we prayed for healing, our bodies would never break down and we would never depart this world. And that's not what we want, is it? And so sometimes we might think, well, God is unkind that he leaves me in this condition. No, he's answering the request that you really have, and that's to be in heaven. And so we'd all like to go painlessly. It's not normally the case, but nevertheless, God answers prayer in powerful ways, even in regards to our health and as we pray for others as well. And so we just need to learn to trust him. We need to be aware of his answer when he answers, like the Apostle Paul gives us the example there in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, so that we don't continue to ask when he's already answered, like Hezekiah, and then have something go terribly awry, so that we regret the answer to the prayer we received. But God hears, God answers in a marvelous way. And so let's take advantage of this, I believe, Christian armor, the weapon that God has given to us. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the promises of prayer here. Father, you encourage us to come. You command us to come. Father, you give us examples like these in your word to see, help us see the value of prayer. And Father, yet if we're honest, we're so neglectful. Father, help us to be more faithful. Use us in a greater way, we pray. Now as we each head our separate ways, Lord, may you bless each one of us. Father, may your grace and mercy be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.